Okay, first speaker we're going to have, speaking on a 12-step, is Daryl M.
Nick, named Daryl.
Wow.
You know, it's always an honor and a privilege to do anything in Narcotics Anonymous, whether it's speaking, sponsoring somebody, doing some service work. It's always an honor and a privilege. And, you know, I was taught early on, you never say no to Narcotics Anonymous. Because what I do know is Narcotics Anonymous has never said no to me. Even when I don't want to speak, or, you know, my plans has changed to, you know, I'm coming really to hear, you know, a message or support someone like my sponsor, my sponsee brother. But what I do know is, like, whenever I'm asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's part of our 12th step. Let me get to the topic, the 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. And I might be jumping around a little bit here, but, you know, I was just looking on page 113 of the 12th step. It talks about many of us have wondered how this spiritual awakening comes about. Does it happen once? Does it happen at once, or does it come slowly over a period of time? You know, my experience is that it came slowly over a period of time. And it always started with like the step work, you know. And you know, my sponsor was he's very a big thing on step traditions and concepts. And you know, he put me on step work right away, early in recovery. I think I had probably about 12 days clean, you know. And some people say, "Oh, that's not." It was just my process, and, like, I know that, like, when I start working the steps, I start getting better, right? I start finding out who I was and who I wasn't, you know? And as my process went on, right, I start taking these principles that they talk about in our steps. And I start applying these principles over time, you know what I mean? And even when I wasn't, it talks about in our literature, we start living this stuff way before we get there. And I truly believe that because, like, I was living some of the stuff that's in probably, you know, 10 that I wasn't, you know, aware of. And my sponsor would point some of this stuff out to me. But there was some stuff that I wasn't living in. And the 12th step talks about that we practice these principles in all our affairs. And the key word for me is practice. So I got to keep doing this over and over and over and over until I become more aware of, you know, how to practice these principles in all of my affairs. And I got to remember that, like, in early recovery, I was, like, you know, kind of, like, practicing them when I wanted to. Like, you can be, like, around me, you know what I mean? I see a recovering addict there, I can practice these principles, right? But how do I practice these principles when y'all ain't around? That's what it talks about that we need to do, that I needed to do. I needed to practice these principles all the time. But it talks about in here that, like, we practice these principles over time, slowly. And that's what happened. You know what I mean? And some of these defects that I had that I was carrying with me for, like, my whole life, that I knew that I could just ask God to, like, remove these defects because they were hurting me. They were killing me. You know what I mean? They were putting me in situations where I could have lost my life. And I can remember in early recovery, like, defects that I was, like, walking around like I was this tough guy. And I, I'm a little guy. I never was no tough guy. And I remember moving to McKeesport, right? And I had my little one-bedroom apartment. And I came outside, and the dope dealers was out there, and they were selling their drugs. And one of the defects that I was practicing that I didn't let go was trying to look tough. So I asked these guys, like, "Yo." And they turned around, and they looked at me, and, you know, they kept on doing their thing. I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm in recovery, man. Y'all got to move with that stuff." And they looked at me like, "What is this clown doing?" And one guy reached for his weapon, right? And that's when I knew that this character defect would kill me, that I needed to just practice the principle of acceptance that they there go in the house, right? But it talks about also that, like, how we carry this message. And, you know, there's so many ways that, like, how we can carry this message. And I always say this is, like, H&R was probably the biggest thing that I can thank, be grateful for in this program. Because if it wasn't for H&R, I probably wouldn't even be here. I really wouldn't. And, like, that's where I heard the message, right? That's where I heard the message. Even though I didn't want to hear it, it was there, right? And sometimes you can try to lock yourself off to hearing stuff, but some of that stuff can just creep in when God allows it to creep in. And, you know, when I heard that message, I always said, you know what I mean? I'll be glad one day that I can sit up there and share my message with another recovering addict. That, like, I never thought it would come so soon, but I mean, I was at so many institutions and so many people coming in carrying the message to me. And I said to myself, God, as you give me an opportunity to carry this message, I will carry it to the best of my ability. And that's all we do, is carry it to the best of our ability. And it talks about in that 12th step that, like, this is a selfless program, not a selfish program. You know what I mean? I hear people say, it's all about me. You know, this ain't all about me. This ain't all about me. It's about that still suffering addict that just might hear something I got to say that might save their life. You know what I mean? It talks about in that 12th step too, I might be jumping around here, that, like, you know, I have sponsees who have worked the 12th step. And, like, you know, I always wanted a sponsee to do the step work and do the service work and all that stuff. And I can remember my grand sponsor, you know, before he had passed away in 2003, he told me, Daryl, it ain't all about you. When your opportunity comes, you make sure you show up. So his sponsee, at his funeral, came to me and said, would you sponsor me? And I said, I can't do that. That's not carrying this message. I carry it any way I can carry it. You know, and my sponsor told me, yeah, you can do it. You know, and she worked hard. She worked hard. And what I need to say is, like, it talks about in this 12 step, we don't take the credit, right, that our sponsees do the work. We don't take the credit as sponsors, right? But what I need to say is, as she was working her steps, I was taking notes from her. There was stuff that she was doing, right, that I wasn't doing. So it became a two-way street. And I had finally experienced that because I always thought that I was in the two-way street with my sponsor. I had nothing to share to help him, but he would always tell me when I was doing step work that it's a two-way street, and I couldn't understand that. And that's another way we carry our message, from addict to addict, in all types of ways. And I need to say that, like, my sponsor is also a service junkie. Right? So, he didn't ask me, do I want to do service? He told me, you're going to be the GSR. You got all these home groups, you're the GSR. I'm like, is that how it works? Yeah, that's how it works. See, because if I have an opportunity to make a decision in early recovery, I will make the wrong ones. I've done it my whole life. And services kept me in the middle. You know what I mean? People talk about area service is crazy and all that stuff and regional meetings is crazy. So what? I was in the crack house getting high. Wasn't that crazy? Yeah, that was crazy. I would rather be somewhere that's going to help me save my life. See? I want to be continuous to stay in the middle. And the only way I can do that is through sponsorship, service work, and giving back what was so freely given to me. I didn't want to speak today, but when the committee told me to speak, my sponsor's standing right there anyway. He ain't going to he made a decision for me. Yeah, he'll speak. You know what I mean? And I told him I really wasn't prepared for this, but what I do know is, like, God don't always allow you to think that you're prepared for something until you have the opportunity. Just do it. Just share your experience, your strength, and your hope. And do the best that you can do. You know, I'm real big on sponsorship. You know what I mean? You know, I always ask, you know, the person, you know, they say, would you like to be my sponsor? And I will say, there's some questions I got to ask you. Would you like to be my sponsee? We do work here. It's how it works, not how we do nothing. That's what my sponsor told me. I mean, I didn't understand what he meant at that time, but what he meant was going to meetings is for me. Selfless service is about trying to look out for the well-being of Narcotics Anonymous and whatever, you know, service commitment I have. It's about carrying that message to someone who don't know that they can do this just like I do it, just like I'm doing it. I need to say that, like, my spiritual awakening came through the steps as I continue to practice the principles in all of my affairs. And I'm so grateful of this program. I couldn't get 30 days together. But what I found out, the reason why I couldn't get 30 days together, because I wasn't doing nothing in here. I was always trying to take. I wasn't trying to give anything. I wasn't trying to be a part of. You know, I always had them good quotes when I was back at the coffee pot. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. I work step one. But I couldn't stay clean myself. See, this stuff don't mean nothing if I don't stay clean. Right? This stuff don't mean nothing. I can take all this information that's in this literature and put it in here. But if it's not here in my heart, it ain't going to work. It's about what's in my heart. It's about, do I really, really want to stay clean on a daily basis? Do I really want to change on a daily basis? Right? I don't look at the newcomer as, I'm better than you. I look at the newcomer as, I'm just like you, trying to get another day clean. Just like you. I ain't no better than. Clean time don't mean nothing to me. I respect my predecessors who came before me. But I put nobody on a pedestal but the God of my understanding. Because if I put you on that pedestal, when you fall short, I'm going to be disappointed. And I tell the people I sponsor, don't put me up there. Only God goes up here. The God of your understanding. Not the God of my understanding. The God of your understanding. And you got to get it. You know, I got the God of my understanding through working the 12 steps. I didn't have a God when I got here. The steps allow me to find a relationship with the God of my understanding. And I try to tell my sponsees, you got to get the God of your understanding. And if you want to know about the God of my understanding, call me and we can talk about it. I don't try to push the God of my understanding on others. I don't push my beliefs on others. But one thing I do believe in is 12-step program and how it works. I do believe in that. I do trust in that. I know if I can continue to practice these principles and do the right thing, all will be well. All will be well. You know, I got people in my family that's struggling with addiction. And they ask me and they tell me, they say, why don't you never come around? Because my disease is stronger than my recovery will ever be. So I'm not going to your house while you drink beer and think that I ain't going to smoke crack by the end of the night. See, that's taking the principle of accepting what my disease will do to me if I come to your house. I'm not like I don't love you. I just can't be around it because I have a disease that's incurable. Progressive, incurable, and fatal. You know, I'm going to get ready to close with a little bit of this, but I just wanted to say that, like, another thing on service, that, like, I know that, like, there's always levels of service, and that, you know, my sponsor, one thing that I always looked at my sponsor, that, like, he worked at two jobs, right? He was always at a meeting, right? And he was always taking a newcomer, right, or old-timer to a meeting. I respected that so much, and I said, like, if I could just help one person, just one, I would be all right with that, because he has helped so many. You know what I mean? And he guided me through the steps. I didn't go through these steps by myself. Don't get me wrong now. I tried that before. I figured you read the step, right? And you done with it. It's not how it works. I need my sponsor's experience. He needs to hear my experience. I need his guidance. It talks about in step one. Are you willing to take direction from your sponsor? I said yeah at the beginning. But sometimes that direction might be a little harsh. Because he's trying to save somebody's life. And that's what I'm here to do, is just save somebody's life. And continue to practice these principles. See, when I go out in society, you know what I mean? Sometimes I got to be in that line when I'm at the grocery store and I'm like, God dang, I know that guy. My bus is coming. I wish he would come on. Well, what principles I'm practicing now? I need to practice some patience and some tolerance, right? Talks about in our sixth step. You know what I mean? I need to practice some patience when somebody, I don't care if you keep picking up 24-hour key tags and picking them up and picking them up and picking them up, I'm going to hug you anyway. I'm going to love you the same anyway. Because y'all did that for me. I was that guy who probably had about 350 key tags, and they probably was all 24-hour key tags. And y'all didn't turn y'all back on me, so who was I to turn my back on anybody that wants help in Narcotics Anonymous? I'm going to close with this. Once again, I want to thank the committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and help on the 12th step. And I always say this, disease of addiction is like a gorilla, right? If you let that gorilla kick you 10 times, that gorilla will kick you 10 times. You let that gorilla kick you 5 times, it'll kick you 5 times. Let that gorilla kick you once, it'll kick you once. But if you cut that gorilla's foot off, won't be no more kicking. And how we cut that gorilla's foot off is by working and living the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an addict named Daryl. Thanks.
Okay, our next speaker is Eric J. Okay. And he's going to speak on the 12 tradition. Okay. Yeah.
Hi, family. My name is Eric. I'm an addict. And I truly thank God for His grace and His mercy and this program in Narcotics Anonymous for my life today. Because as a result of this program, my life today is truly a life worth living. And for that, I'm ever grateful. I'd also like to thank this committee for believing in an addict like me to come in here and carry a message of hope. You know, it still kind of, overwhelms me because... you know, the responsibility of carrying a message, you know, with me is a very serious thing. You know, I'm not standing up here because I'm on any image time at all. You know what I'm saying? I stand up here in front of you as a tool chosen by God and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous to carry this message. And that's what I intend to do for my experience, my strength, and my hope. You know, the literature. I brought my basic text because I don't want nobody to believe that anything that I'm saying was created and derived by me. You know what I'm saying? I follow the program in Narcotics Anonymous. I believe that our literature is cut and dry, and it don't need no seasoning. It don't need no added additions from me, or we don't take away from our literature. They asked me to share on the 12th step. I mean, the 12th tradition. Sorry. The 12th tradition. And I believe that recovery itself is about improving the quality of your life as well as the integrity of your character. And, you know, I think the integrity of Narcotics Anonymous is compiled in our traditions. It says that our traditions are the guidelines to keep our fellowship alive and free, and that those traditions are not negotiable. You know what I'm saying? This is the basic foundation, the bylaws of Narcotics Anonymous that can't be, you know, bent, they can't be curved, or anything. Or if you do, you're taken away from the message of Narcotics Anonymous. The 12th tradition clearly reads that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I want to read a little portion of the 12th tradition if I can see it. I don't have my glasses. I didn't intend to. A dictionary defines definition of anonymity as the state of bearing no name. In keeping with the tradition 12, the I becomes we, the spiritual foundation becomes more important than any one group or individual. As we find ourselves growing closer together, the awakening of humility occurs. Humility is a byproduct that allows us to grow and develop in an atmosphere of freedom. And the anonymity portion of this is the state of bearing no names. And I think that's truly, truly important in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, because what I understand is that Narcotics Anonymous is a verbal fellowship. You know, we don't specifically, have any maps or grids or anything like that that shows people what to do, or we don't worry about statistics and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's a verbal fellowship. We share our experience, strength, and hope, you know, with the understanding that if we do some honest sharing from the heart, that it's going to reach the heart of someone else. And in that sharing, you know, the anonymity piece is that, you know what I'm saying, you know, everybody in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous has lives outside of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and the anonymity should tell you, you know, that if you want to share something that's said, and this is a problem that we have in Narcotics Anonymous where, you know, I don't go to a meeting today, but half an hour after the meeting is over, I know everything that was said in that meeting and shared in that meeting. And a lot of times it's with members that have some experience in the program that do this. You know what I'm saying? The other part is that, you know, I've seen this happen too. You know what I'm saying? I may be in the mall with my significant other, my kids, and some other people that this person do not know. But they walk up to me and be like, "Hey, Eric, you going to that Narcotics Anonymous meeting tonight?" You know what I'm saying? And they don't know whether this person is my boss that doesn't have any knowledge of me being an addict. They don't know whether this person is a cop that's with me. You know, they don't know whether or not my significant other knows that I'm an addict. You know what I'm saying? They just blew my anonymity. And it's real important that we understand that. You know, I see people that are members of this fellowship, and I'll see them out, you know what I'm saying? Unless it's a mutual understanding and we know each other like that, I won't hug them. You know what I'm saying? I won't even open my mouth. And that's in the spirit of anonymity. In the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, man, we don't shake hands, we hug each other. And the hug is real important, you know what I'm saying? Because the hug not only is that I'm glad to see you and how you doing and you my friend, the hug also means that we understand the concept that this disease that we suffer from is so deadly. If I sit here and don't take the opportunity, he lives in Pittsburgh, I live in Altoona. And I know this brother, he's in my support network. I can call on him. And if I don't take the opportunity to put my arms around him, this disease is so vicious that it might have been the last opportunity that I had to hug him, because he's acceptable to use any given time. You know, because the disease don't die. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's another end of the importance of the hug in Narcotics Anonymous and the anonymity process. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. That's real, real important, because we learn in the steps and in our process of recovery, we learn all of these spiritual principles that are tools of our recovery that helps to make our relationships from that point on much better, all the way around the board. Personally, my experience is that recovery is about relationships. It's about how to have healthier relationships all the way around the board, on my job, with my kids, with my significant other, with my friends, because he said it's self-centered, and this is the core of our disease.
And I didn't care about la-di-da-di or nobody. If it wasn't about helping me or putting me in position to find ways and means to get another one, if I couldn't use you, if you weren't a tool for my disease, you didn't matter. And in this fellowship, you know what I'm saying, we put others before ourselves because we know we keep what we have by giving away what was freely given to us. I'm honored to stand here and do service because I believe the humility of my program says that the service that I do, the selfless service I do for Narcotics Anonymous, is the rent that I pay for the freedom that I've been given by this program. I'm talking about real freedom, man. You know, I never knew freedom. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the Kunta Kinte freedom. I'm talking about freedom from self. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like, you know, until I came to Narcotics Anonymous, it was like, you know, I was locked up in a self-imposed prison, and all the time, the key was in my back pocket. The key was attached to my spirituality, my spiritual foundation. I like to, you know, describe myself when I first got here as I came in with a fractured personality and a broken spirit. And the reason why my personality was fractured and my spirit was broken, because I prostituted all my morals and values that my mother and father taught me as a kid. I'm talking about all my nevers came true. All of them. I remember back when I was smoking them big nickel bags in the yellow manila envelope. You can get 34 joints out. I used to smoke them and I used to say, man, I'll never sniff that. I'll never shoot that. I'll never do that. Ultimately, I have a sibling that died as a direct result of this disease. And, you know, it hurts my heart to go back to it and express about it. But I've done a ninth step and I've done some amends on this process. So I feel a little better about it. But it still gives me a gut feeling when I share about it. He died as a direct result of this disease of addiction. And I wouldn't go to his funeral. I wouldn't go to his wake. Because I was thugging and bugging, I was on that street mentality stuff, and I was like, he went out like a sucker, he killed himself. I ain't going. Not until I came into the program in Narcotics Anonymous did I recognize that he didn't have a choice. He was locked and loaded in a progressive disease that's progressive, incurable, and fatal, and he didn't have a choice. And you know what? I talked all that stuff on him, and then I turned out to be him, and worse. You know what I'm saying? But the grace and the blessing of God was that I was able to make it to this program. I was able to be guided to this program. So now, when I think of my brother, I have a heavy heart. You know what I'm saying? But I know he's in a good place now, and I've made amends with that, so I'm good. But the principles that we learned in the steps, all these principles, and Lala's sitting right here, and I remember one time early on in my process of recovery, the brother gave me a book, and it had like 16 spiritual principles in it. You know what I'm saying? And I internalized those principles. But like you said, if it's just here, it ain't no good. It got to be here, and it got to show in my actions. Narcotics Anonymous is an action program. We don't sit around in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous waiting for our ship to come in. We jump in the water and swim out to meet it, man, because you got to do something. This is not about coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, loitering with the intent to recover. Don't happen like that. The suggestion is get a sponsor, get a home group, get involved, get in the middle of the program. You know what I'm saying? Because I flip it around on my sponsees. Well, you don't want to share. You think everybody think you dumb. Let me put it to you like this. If all these people in the same room was getting high, and you ain't know nobody like you don't now, and you walked into this room, you tell them your social security number, your birth date, how much you weighed when you was born, all the information, if it'll get you a hit. Now we're talking about getting a hit of this life-saving program of Narcotics Anonymous. We call this thing the gift of life. And the message is hope, the promise is freedom, the only guarantee is freedom from active addiction. But there are many, 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 many other blessings that come when you start to get in touch with the spiritual foundation of this program. You know what I'm saying? It's gotten to a point with me where there's been a spiritual transformation.
I don't feel like the same person that I used to be because it don't sound real sweet, real nice, but I don't like no cut on my recovery. My motto when I was in the street was mother had a mother, fuck 'em. I don't care about Lottie Dottie or nobody, but today somebody can come to the podium and touch me in my spirit with what they share. And I may sit there and want to shed a tear, man. You know, I may hear somebody come and raise their hand in the meeting and share pain, man. And I'll feel that pain. Because the literature tells us, man, that we're more alike than we are different. We're holding in our heads, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to share that because, you know what I'm saying, I don't want everybody to think I'm crazy. It's a public service announcement. We know if you're in this room, you're crazy. We all have a certain degree of crazy. It's just a matter of getting in touch with it, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, it's about reality. Reality, discovery, and understanding, man. And the reality is, man, you know, if you got a cold and you don't recognize the symptoms, runny nose, fever, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and other, how would you know to take NyQuil? So in Narcotics Anonymous, you need to know and understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that until you got here, you've been crazy. Now we're trying to give you some food so that you can be restored to sanity. And I tell you, you know what I'm saying? That restoration to sanity don't all come at once. Me and my sponsor was riding to Erie to a speaker jam, and we was in the car, and we was talking about, you remember when you was crazy and you didn't know you was crazy? I'm like Arsenio Hall. You know what I'm saying? Because at one particular time in our lives, and this is most of us, all of us, wrong was right and right was wrong. You know what I'm saying? And it was socially acceptable to get locked up, to have open cases, to not pay your child support or take care of your kids, to be irresponsible in every area of your life. It was okay. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? You might even share that with somebody. You know? And that was being crazy and not even identifying that it was. But the restoration to sanity in this process, man, will firmly plant your feet in reality, and when you get firmly planted in that reality, it's up to you whether you want to try, like the 12 steps says, try to practice these principles in all your affairs to affect some positive change in your own personal life and being. That's on you. That's totally on you. You know what I'm saying? It gets me when I ask my sponsees to do some work, and they feel like I'm telling them to do something for my benefit. Look, the step work is personal. It's for you. I've done mine. I asked you to do yours so you can get in touch with you. So you can find. Look, this program, man, is designed to take a broken individual and begin to polish him up, fix him up, give them a little bit of self-esteem, encourage them, fan the flame, let them know that it's possible to do something and to do it right. You know what I'm saying? And the big thing, man, is having a little patience, man, because this is a process, man. And just the word process suggests that it takes some time. Look, recovery is a process. It's not an event. It's a never-ending journey. And it's not the end of the journey that's going to matter, but the journey that's going to matter in the end. How you living? How you living from this point on? Because recovery, the same person will use again. It's a program where you have to change. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you do the steps and you practice the principles, and then you find out that you're affecting some change in your life. And what happened with me was that I really knew I was in the process of recovery when these principles that I've been practicing, and I think it's the most overlooked word in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, practice. Because this shit don't come through osmosis. It's not sexually transmitted. We don't get it from our sponsors. You know what I'm saying? We get it from practicing. Because we practiced the behaviors that we exuded when we was in active addiction. We went to the store and we stole and we got caught and the senior security guard come and we ran. Next time we came back, we had on a bigger coat with a bigger cut lining on the inside, make that stash spot a little easier and whatnot, and we tried it again. We was practicing, you know what I'm saying? Jokers be practicing doing that thing. Well, I'm going to push it to the other end, just try this lighter out, you know, and see how good this light is. You know what I'm saying? Practice, man. So we need to practice these principles, man. I need to firmly acknowledge that today I'm practicing humility. I don't care what nobody say to me. If somebody say something to me that's off the wall, as long as they don't put their hands on me, I'm going to remain humble. I'm going to teach myself some understanding, some humility, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to allow nobody to steal my joy. You know, my first step told me that the only way somebody can really make me mad is if I allow them to. And I'm not allowing nobody to steal my joy because God gave me too much because I haven't used in almost 8-9 years. I haven't used. I have a lot to be grateful for. I woke up this morning. I didn't say came to. I said woke up. That means I remember going to sleep last night and the condition I went to sleep in last night because that little nigga was kicking me. You know what I'm saying? I remember. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole lot different than how I used to. Where am I? Damn, who is you? Whose house is this? You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I still got my stuff. I don't have to wake up like that no more. You know what I'm saying? I can put money away or keep money with me, man. I don't find myself pawning my stuff no more. And it's all results of this program, man, practicing these principles, having some integrity with what I do. You know, I don't know where I'm at time-wise, but I'm going to say this in closing. I said that recovery was about improving the quality of your life as well as the integrity of your character. And the traditions were the integrity of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? They uphold the integrity of Narcotics Anonymous where it don't change. Can't nobody come in here, be elected mayor or president, and decide I'm going to change this. Seven Traditions states that I got to check it out first before it goes anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? No. The traditions is just as applicable to life as the steps are. They're just as applicable to recovery as the steps are. You know, the seventh tradition in our lives. How about that? Being fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Stop asking people to loan you $5. Get a job. You know what I'm saying? On the straight up. Pay your bills like you're supposed to pay your bills. You know what I'm saying? And learn to live within your means. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. You know what? I pay all my bills, and at the end of it, whatever I have left is what I got left. If it's $20, so be it. You know what I'm saying? The peace, the serenity, and the security comes in the fact that I know where I'm putting my head at tonight. I know when I put the key in the door's going to open up. I know when I click the light switch, the lights is coming on. Got a little cable. Got, some oodles of noodles in the refrigerator, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I understand that, man. You know what I'm saying? There's peace and serenity in that. My mother used to say to me when I was young, God bless the child that got his own. I didn't know what that meant. And I remember when I got my first apartment after being clean. This man sitting right here told me, he said, Eric, live by yourself, man. Because my whole mode in my head was like, okay, I got a crib to myself. I'm going to get a chicken hang on that wall. I'm going to get one to hang on that wall. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be Pimp Daddy. But that's inviting insanity in your house. I messed around and lived by myself. It's going on 9 years that I've been living by myself. I got a son. His mom is my significant other. And she keeps saying, why don't we live together? You know, and I told her, I'm so comfortable living by myself, I don't know if I could live with anybody else now. You know what I'm saying? And it's a freedom to that. It is. It's a freedom to that. You know what I'm saying? And all of the freedom that I experienced today, I got through the program in Narcotics Anonymous. Its principles, its traditions, and its concepts. the more I use them as tools in my life and in my recovery, the better my life consistently gets. My sponsor told me, if I stay rooted in the basics of this program, I'll never have to return to them. And I don't want to return to them no more. I want to continue to grow, to continue to prosper in my life, and continue to affect positive change, because it's an ongoing process. The journey continues. My name's Eric, and I'm an addict. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Barbara. That was powerful. Where's Joey, Eric? Can I go back?